Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, clinical child psychologist David Coleman joins us. Hello, David.
Good morning, Claire. How are you doing?
Very well. Great to have you with us. And don't forget that David is still taking your questions. You can WhatsApp us now, 0870 32 32 32. Right, let's get to these many questions coming in. My two-year-old daughter says this listener, David, is really struggling with accepting her new brother who was born 6 months ago. Since his arrival, she's become very anxious with constant tears and tantrums, demands for me, her mother, to pick her up and to hold her, declining meals and refusing naps and bedtime. I've already carved out one-on-one time with her on a daily basis, and I give her significantly more attention than the baby gets when we're all together. What else can I do? She does not want her dad's attention, just mine. Thank you for your help in advance, David. What do you say?
So great. I mean, it is great that she's doing so many of the right things, because I do think it is difficult for older children. We've seen it time and time again that when the new baby arrives, they can feel like perhaps there's no, it's almost like there's no physical space for them left in the house, you know, because this baby seems to take up so much space and time and attention. So it's great that the mum is able to carve out some one-on-one time. It's great that, you know, when the whole family is together, that the two-year-old is getting equal attention, if not even, by the sounds of it, a little bit more. I think even though she's only two, I'd be actually talking to her though, and maybe filling in the gaps in terms of naming some of the feelings that she might well be having, which of course, because she's only two, she's not going to be able to you know, be connected to herself. So you're saying things like, oh, I think it's very hard having this new baby here sometimes. I bet you wish the baby was never born. And so even though you know, that might sound harsh, but what it's actually doing is probably tapping into what this little girl actually feels, which is that it is a real pain in the neck that the baby's here. Life was so much easier before it, because I had all of the time and all of the attention, and now even though I'm still getting some, it has to be split, and that's just hard for me. So it's really just talking about those kinds of things. And then it is helpful if you know, if it's the case that she wants lots of time, and you know, maybe the dad in this instance can either begin to build up his connection with her so that she is very accepting of her dad's time and attention, or equally the dad can just continue to be involved with the baby maybe more. Mm-hmm. And so that might free up the mum. It's just one of those transitional things though. I think it's about just acknowledging that it's difficult, as opposed to being frustrated or cross with your older child and wanting them just to cop on and you know, accept things and move on.
Yeah, it's a tricky time. You have to navigate your way through gently, but as you say, naming the feelings might help. So we move now to a 10-year-old. So this listener says, our 10-year-old daughter is showing signs of puberty. I bought her a child-friendly book to help her through it. I did show her the book a few months ago. She didn't want to look at it. I reminded her that this week that the book is on her shelf in our bedroom, but she threw a wobbler and told me that she doesn't want to grow up. So what else can we do?
Yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, fair play to the daughter for naming it, which is that she just doesn't want to grow up, and I think that is often the case. And if it's not to do with puberty, often when children make that transition into secondary school, again, it's almost like saying goodbye to their childhood. And so she's only 10 and she's not ready to say goodbye to her childhood yet. She's not ready to become an adolescent, which is what she might even be associating this with. That said, I do think it is helpful for you to absolutely acknowledge that changes for her. But maybe rather than focusing on this book and whether this book is the way forward for her in terms of understanding what's going on, maybe just throw a few comments into conversation every so often. And, you know, think of it rather than having a sit down kind of, you know, the chat, maybe think about it in terms of some side to side conversations. So when you're shoulder to shoulder in the car, maybe, or she's in the back seat of the car and you're in the front seat, that you just maybe again empathize a little bit with the challenge that, you know, the onset of puberty might be having for her, that it might feel really difficult, that her body's changing and she mightn't really want that right now. And yet, you know, these are the things that do happen and she will be able to cope with it. So it's just about speaking with her yourself rather than, you know, focusing on this book. And, you know, I think it's helpful for parents sometimes to have books, but often they're a bit of a cop-out for us as well. We think, well, the book has explained it all. And actually, it's more helpful, I think, for children to know that their parents are willing to engage engage with them about the issues, because it's not necessarily about knowing the physical, the facts rather, about the physical changes of puberty. It might be just about the emotional impact of it. And so that's not going to necessarily be, you know, found in the book. That's going to come from the kind of conversations that you can have with her directly.
Yeah, you reminded me of advice I read one time about that chat in the car where you're side on and you're not looking at each other can sometimes be a good place to start the conversation, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic because so when we're making eye contact with them, or at least we have the capacity to make eye contact because we are face to face, it just raises the intensity of the conversation generally. And so when you're side to side and you don't have to make eye contact, it can just reduce some of the awkwardness. It can facilitate silence a little bit more because there's no expectation that if you say something that it's going to be responded to. And I think that's important for parents as well. Sometimes we just have to put our phrases out into the ether and hope that they're landing somewhere without necessarily expecting that we're going to get some feedback about whether this was a helpful comment that we made or an unhelpful comment that we made.
Right, well, let's go a little older again now. So this is a teenager, and this is a long email we've had in from somebody who calls themselves a very helpless mother. You'll listen to this and you'll think, well, this is a mother who is trying their very best. So let's find out what's going on. Over the past 2 years, my almost 16-year-old daughter has been tolerating toxic behaviour from a girl in her friend group, which has resulted in her being isolated and excluded by the whole group. This girl is manipulative and lies a lot, but seems to be able to do it really well. Earlier this year, our daughter called her out on a lie in the presence of the group. I thought this would sort everything out, but the exclusion got worse. Unfortunately, our daughter kept going back to them because she felt she had no one else. Just before going back to school this year, she broke down in tears, having seen a photo online of this girl with the others who she hadn't seen all summer. It reminded her of the hurt this girl has caused over the past 2 years. This has chipped away at her confidence and it's at an all-time low. She feels she has nothing to add to conversation and has really gone into herself. I find it difficult to get her to talk about her feelings. I'm at a complete loss as to what I can do to help her. My fear is that she will believe that this is the norm now in relationships from here on. This is tricky because you can't get overly involved, David, but she clearly just wants to help her daughter navigate this one.
Yeah, and it is very tricky. And I mean, we've spoken over the years about just how difficult isolation and exclusion is for the young person who's at the center of it, because, you know, it is very rare that you get an opportunity to influence or to change things. And so it sounds like she took a big step that time, you know, when she did challenge one of the whatever the lie was that this girl was spreading, and that she obviously had the evidence to prove that it was a lie. And I could imagine it was then really disappointing that didn't lead others to perceive this girl in, you know, presumably a more negative light, and maybe allow them to realize that she is being manipulative and that possibly uses lies a lot. That said, from the mum's perspective, I think it is important that she does continue to try to acknowledge the emotional impact of it. And maybe if she feels that she's no longer having the opportunity to make the connections and to show that level of support, that she might try and find somebody else for her daughter to speak to. And so that would be a counsellor, a psychologist, a psychotherapist, somebody who can help her daughter, I suppose, just rebuild in terms of her self-esteem, in terms of her belief in herself, because it does sound like, you know, she's probably got to the stage where she feels there must be something wrong with her, that other people can't see through this other girl's behavior and seem to have abandoned her. And that could be very isolating, could be very difficult for her. And, you know, certainly some of those things that the mum described about, you know, kind of going in on herself and feeling like she has nothing useful to contribute to conversations, that all that would suggest that this is a girl who really is feeling quite bad about herself. And definitely, if they can at all, I would try and access some kind of external help for her, because I think it's moved past whatever the mum can offer.
That's interesting that you think now is the time to involve a third party, because I get the sense sometimes when parents get in touch with us, they feel that there's something else that they can do to make the situation better. But you think from listening to that mom has done pretty much everything that they can, and now it's time to reach out to somebody else.
Yeah, and it's you know, and that's absolutely no indication of any kind of failure on the mum's part. I just think sometimes, even, you know, when we speak to our kids about normal things, sometimes they hear it differently when it comes from other people. And so there can just be a real benefit in terms, particularly of self-esteem building and building back up confidence. You know, when somebody else recognizes the positive traits, it can be just heard and felt very differently by teenagers, where they might feel, oh, you have to say these things, you know, you have to, you know, think that I'm great. You have to, you know, believe that I have all these kind of good qualities because you're my mother. And so a lot of what the mom or the dad might be saying in terms of supporting and building her confidence might be just being dismissed by her because she has all this added layer of, just the rejection that she's felt by her friends and particularly hard, as I say, when she done, you know, this big courageous step of trying to prove this other girl wrong, and then everybody basically said, well, we don't care, we still like her more than we like you. At least that's what she'll have picked up anyway.
Next one is about a secondary school boy as well. I'm interested to hear what you're going to say about this one. So this is from a dad. My son finds socialising very challenging and has made no real friends in 3 years of secondary school. I'm really worried about his loneliness and his ability to connect with others. How can I help him with this? Now, I think what's missing from that is how this boy feels about his relationships, because some people might be quite happy to be alone or be isolated or not have too many friends. I mean, do you think that that parent maybe needs to find out how content that child is first before trying to do anything else?
Yeah, so because I think as parents, you know, we identify problems all the time. And of course, as soon as we identify a problem for our kids, we rush in to try to fix it, when in fact they may be trying to resolve it on their own, or they may not perceive that there's even a problem there. So it is worth talking with him about how he feels about the challenges he's had in school and whether it's made a difference for him that he's, you know, struggled to make friends. That said, you know, I think for lots of parents, it is a worry when we see that our kids don't seem to be making connections outside the home. And so it is really important, though, that within the home he does feel secure, that he does feel accepted, that he feels valued, you know, that you as parents are giving him all this positive feedback about the kind of person that he is, because that can make him just a little bit less vulnerable to the impact of loneliness if he is in fact feeling lonely in terms of external connections. And then, you know, the other thing to do is to just see, you know, where are his opportunities for friendships? And so, you know, school is not always the best place. And so are there any other extracurricular activities that he might be interested in? So is there some kind of sport? Is he interested in gaming? Are there gaming groups, you know, music lessons? Is coding his thing? Could he join a coding club? Anything really that's going to tap into his interests. And I think, you know, if he already feels that this is something that he likes, that he feels somewhat competent at, then it allows him to kind of get involved in that group. And of course, you know, being involved with the group and like-minded kids and like-minded, at least the same kind of interests, you know, it always offers that opportunity for a connection or for building friendships. And so that might be the way forward.
David, thank you so much for taking all of those questions. And we'll talk to you again soon. That's David Coleman, clinical child psychologist.